Don't look like you're going to make it very long there, boy. I'll see you. I'll come check on you tomorrow. But listen to what Hezekiah did. Then he turned his face towards the wall.
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Mule Shoe Fellowship with Steve Friska. This message was recorded on August 5th, 2020, and is titled Birthright, and is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 25. Grab your Bible, turn to Genesis 25, and let's join Steve in the message.
He rolled over, turned his back to Isaiah, turned his face to the wall, and got intimate and real with God. And he says, he prayed to the Lord, saying, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what was good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly, and it happened before Isaiah had gone out the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. This guy gets a bad report and he weeps before the Lord. And God does what he says he's going to do because Hezekiah's got a birthright. But he coughs it up here in a minute. Doesn't take him very long. I've been standing behind this pulpit up here for 18 years almost. There's enough tears been cried on this carpet up here to fill up my swimming pool. We don't have a very big swimming pool. I've seen a lot of men, a lot of women come broken, weep before the Lord, and God does amazing miracles. I've seen them, ain't we, Alan? Hundreds of them. And then all of a sudden, just like magic, God just does what only God can do. And the next thing you see is their pockets, the back ones, headed out the door, on to live their merry little life and their self-gratification and their compromising lives and all that kind of stuff. Here they go, one right after another one. God brought you in and said, "You called on me. I'd give you a birthright. I'd set you up. But you're going to have to stay hooked." You see, this idea of Christianity where you hear phrases of riding the fence. There is no fence. There is no backsliding. There's just turning away from God. Why not just say it plain? You didn't backslide. You turn away from God if you ever knew him to start with. I think when you really know him, it's a little harder to turn away than the ones who just bought into a good idea. Did y'all hear that good? Plenty have bought into a good idea. They have no birthright. The Holy Spirit's the evidence of your birthright. So don't tell me you're a carnal human born into this earth in flesh and blood and you receive the Holy Spirit and you don't know it. Who told you it'd be better off to claim Jesus while you went for the porridge, while you went for the stew, while you went for all the short-term gratification and all the benefits of the kingdom that you thought you were entitled to because you've been going to church and singing the songs and doing the stuff? So Hezekiah, he rolls over and prays. Let me look here. Then you get over in verse 12. And all of a sudden, Hezekiah, he's doing good. The Babylonians come to his house. Be careful when the Babylonians come to your house. The Babylonians are interested in your stuff. You know, if you got a guy that wants to come brag on your new pickup more than he wants to talk about Jesus, he might be a Babylonian. Be careful when somebody comes to your house with their ministry and they just want to talk about the money and don't want to talk about the Lord. You might have a Babylonian. Be careful. Anyhow, the Babylonians come and Hezekiah was attentive to them. Verse 13. He showed them all the house of his treasures, the silver, the gold, the spices, the precious ointment, and all his armory, and all that was found among his treasures. There was nothing in his house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. I actually had a preacher tell me one time, I was just trying to be a nice guy. And I said, man, y'all got a pretty sanctuary. He said, we believe that your building is an example of your worship. Babylonian. Babylonian. If that's the truth, then our worship is sinking in the middle where that cotton burr pit used to be. I encourage everybody to have a hole in your house like that. We had a toilet overflow the other day, and the water all goes to one spot. You can get a shop back, and you can clean up your overflow toilet easy because you have a small swimming pool right in the middle of your church. It's fantastic. Everybody should have one. Walk around and talk about all your adornment, all your financial stuff, your materialism. And Hezekiah got 15 years added to his life. 15 years to reconcile the next generation to do right. 15 years added to his birthright of responsibility. And he wants to walk a bunch of Babylonians around and show him all his stuff. You see, that's what we did in America. Thank you, Jesus. That's what we did in America. Come to America and we'll show you all our stuff. When you get here, you'll be entitled. We did the same thing in church with the name it, claim it, blab it, grab it ministries. Come to Jesus. Let us show you all that's available. And you're entitled now. Let me show y'all his stuff. When's the last time we invited somebody to America so they could see our faith? See our walk with Jesus and his walk with us. It was the last time we begged God for 15 more years so I could get it right before I left. And then see God do a miracle. Let me tell you, it worked out really good in my life this time. It's not a benchmark in my life. It's just a little bump in the road that was absolutely necessary. But when you do wake up one day and you're not sure whether you're going to live or die, and you don't know how your family's going to do after you're gone, and you don't know how much your sickness is going to cost, and you don't know how many years or months or days you're going to be shackled to the bed, and you just hear the report and you go, oh, crap, I can't believe this is going on, and how's this all work out and everything else. And then you walk with Jesus all the way through that little old short time in your life. And you see what the hand of God can do. And when you get off that bed and you go home and you're so thankful and you remember that time for years and then hopefully decades, and you remind your family what the Lord has done, that he's given me 15 more years or 15 more minutes or 15 more days that I can lay down my life every day for the gospel of Jesus Christ and the generations that are coming behind me, that I can lay my life down. Man, when I got off that bed from leukemia, I knew I was going to serve my God and serve my country because that's what the Bible said and that was what was right. And when I realized it, that's what finally matters. I don't need another day on this earth. I get to go to heaven. I want another day on this earth. So the birthright doesn't go away. So faith doesn't go away. We restore the generations because look what happens. Verse 14, then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and said to him, what did these men say? From where did they come to you? Hezekiah said they came from a far country, from Babylon. And he said, "What have they seen in your house?" So this guy answered, "They've seen all that is in my house. There's nothing among my treasures I've not shown them." And Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget. And they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Listen to this. "So Hezekiah said to Isaiah, 'The word of the Lord which you have spoken is good.' For he said, 'Will there not be peace and truth, at least in my days?'" Isaiah should have hit him in the mouth. So Hezekiah, it's all about you. We had our good stuff while we lived here. Who cares what happens? Who cares if my sons become eunuchs in the palace of the Babylonians? Who cares if my grandsons are forced to worship Allah at gunpoint? Who cares if their children go to godless schools in decades to come that treat Jesus Christ and the Bible of God as a simple byword? Who cares? We had peace and good times while we were here. Who cares? Jacob, give me the stew. Just give me my stew. Who cares? I'm fine. How many Christians in the last 4 or 5 months of COVID-19, total destruction across this country, chaos everywhere, unlike we've ever seen in our lifetimes, and you've heard Christians say, "Well, it's okay because I know where I'm going"? Be sure when you say that around me, you're at least 3 foot away. Do social distancing when you say that to me. You're okay. You know where you're going. So you don't care. You don't care. You rolled over in your bed and talked to God and you got your deal fixed and you're good. You don't care how it goes after your turn. You don't care about the longevity of your birthright. You don't care. Great question. Your birthright. It's the only thing you can pass to the next batch. We've told our whole family, "I'm going to fight for one inheritance for my children, my children's children." And that's the promise of this piece of real estate called the United States of America, one nation under God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. A nation that is soon to come back to her Christian roots. And if I die penniless, I'm going to leave you the best possible inheritance I can leave. I'm going to leave you a promised nation and a birthright. That's the best I can do while I'm here. And if I get sick again, I'm going to remember to roll over and face the wall. Say, "Lord, give me 15 more minutes, 15 more days, 15 more years. Because there is nothing in me that says I've gotten it right to this point. There's nothing in me that says I can leave now and everything's okay. I want to stay till everything's okay." That's how important my birthright is for me and my family, my children, my children's children. Leave it okay. Y'all had enough? About enough. This nation has promised you a lot. You're not entitled to any of it. Unless you're a citizen. That means you pledge allegiance. You assimilate. The kingdom of God has offered you a lot. You're not entitled to any of it. Till you've laid down your life and been resurrected, clothed in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, to serve God, serve your fellow man every day for the rest of your life, knowing that the generations that come behind you are important. They're important. I look around this room at some of the kids, and Jackson walked in the door a while ago and didn't even recognize him. Used to be a little kid running around here. Now he's a coach, MuSU High School. He's come back to our town. He came back to church. Because I know his parents, I know his heritage. I know he knows his birthright. Probably like the rest of us, still figuring out his purpose. He surrendered to follow Jesus. Good to have you in the building. Serve God. Serve your family. Serve your country.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message, The Birthright. And as always, we invite you to come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard. You can find us on the web, www.MuSU Fellowship.org. We're on YouTube as MuSU Fellowship, and you can tune in every Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Mountain Time, to hear Steve on AM 1450 Cow Country. For Steve and everyone at MuSU Fellowship, God bless.